Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Vincent Trunk and Jill Howland. Vincent and Jill are first-year students in our full-time MBA class of 2025, and they're also newly elected members of the Darden Student Association. I recently connected with Vincent and Jill to talk more about their backgrounds, their decision to pursue an MBA, what led them to Darden, how they decided to get involved with DSA, and so much more. As always, if you find this conversation helpful, please like this episode and subscribe to Experience Darden so you never miss an update. Remember, you can always check the episode description for links to Darden blogs, social channels, and more resources for tips, insights, and stories about the Darden experience. Now, without further ado, here is my interview with Vincent Trunk and Jill Howland. Vincent, Jill, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
It's great to have you here. Vincent, your last day of spring break here. How are you doing? How's everything?
It's going well. Got to spend time in Miami with my fiance and dog and a couple of friends over in Miami. Some nice warm weather. And back here in Charlottesville for a couple of days before we start Q4. It's been a quick Q3. And so it's nice to kind of transition over into Q4 and kind of expand our little network out of the core classes now.
Yeah, quarter three really flies by. And then spring breaks here, then quarter four, it's like a mix of some core as well as some electives, right?
Yeah, we'll have two core classes and then we'll take a mix of three or four elective classes, depending on how heavy you want your schedule.
What electives are you planning to take?
What am I taking? That's a great question. I'm taking Advancing Big Ideas, which is a leadership organization class. I'm taking a operations class, kind of about supply chain and operations management. And then I'm taking strategic communication, which would be a nice kind of way to learn more about how to, you know, communicate different kind of types of topics and have conversations with people.
That's great. Well, Jill, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the nice weather today because I hadn't got much of that over spring break. So it's nice to see the sunshine and I'm really looking forward to that in Q4.
Yeah, it's almost 70 degrees here today. Yeah. Like, is it spring? Do we really want to give ourselves over to thinking that it might be spring?
Right. It's a bit unbelievable, but I noticed a lot of the flowers are starting to bloom. So campus is looking good.
Yeah, I'll say at least the next few days will be warm. I think it gets cold again next week, but this is March in Virginia, to be expected. Well, how about you? What are you taking in quarter four?
I'm actually learning right now that Vincent and I are taking a few of the same courses. I'm also taking the operations class, so supply chain and management, the strategic communications, a different leading organizations class called People, Power, and Relationships, and the last one about entrepreneurship, which I'm really excited about. It's a very small class, about 20, 25 people. So a totally different pace than the courses we've taken so far.
All right. Well, thank you both for taking time out for the podcast. Your newly elected Darden Student Association, DSA leaders. We'll talk about that in the second half of this conversation. But before we get there, we'd like to learn a little bit more about you. So Jill, tell us who you are. Who are you? What's your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, which of course makes me a huge Bills fan. Go Bills. After high school, I moved away from home and went to the University of Pittsburgh. And from there, met a ton of people, went a lot of different places, wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do as a full-time career, but that brought me to Baltimore, Maryland with an organization called Urban Teachers, which is an alternate teacher prep program where I spent the better part of the last decade. I was there for the last 7 years, got my master's in education and worked for Baltimore City Public Schools in a few different roles, but mostly in the classroom, teaching kids. So yeah.
Did you always know that you wanted to be a teacher?
I very much so did not know that I wanted to be a teacher, but I am very appreciative of the time that I spent teaching. It was always something I thought I might be interested in, and I'm glad that I tried it. But I did learn that that was maybe not a lifetime career choice for me. And you know, by the end of my 7 years in Baltimore City, just realized it was time for a change. And that's what brought me here. That's how I wound up in Charlottesville, Virginia. But yeah, I really liked my time in Baltimore, Maryland, and I miss the community there very much.
It's interesting, you're from Buffalo and Baltimore. These are two places that have a lot of local pride, at least in my feel for these two cities. I've yet to meet someone from Buffalo who's not a Bills fan. And I've not met anyone from Baltimore that's not a huge Ravens, Orioles, et cetera, fan. So the sports are part of it, but I think people just really love being from these places.
Oh, I would definitely agree with that. And I think to that end, Pittsburgh is like that as well. So it's funny how I have found myself in these smaller cities that are very bound to the community. And I have felt at home there almost instantly. So I think that's what got me to stay. It certainly wasn't the weather in Buffalo, New York that made me stay, nor Baltimore for that matter. But I can certainly tell you that on game day, when it was Ravens versus Buffalo Bills, that was a day that could more or less shut down the city. So.
Yeah, it's a big game in the AFC. So yeah, it never fails. I was on a train coming home from, I think, New York this past fall, and a bunch of Bills fans heading in another direction, maybe to catch a flight after Ravens game. So they're everywhere. Bills Mafia.
They are. They travel well too. So they are definitely everywhere.
All right. Well, Vincent, tell us a little bit more about you. Who are you and what's your background?
Yeah, of course. So I actually grew up in Orange County, California. So that's about an hour south of Los Angeles. A lot of different weather than Buffalo or Maryland. So I do miss that. But I went to community college first out of high school. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. So really took the time to figure out kind of the different career paths that were available. Decided I was going to go into accounting. And so I transferred over to Cal State Fullerton, where I finished getting my bachelor's degree in accounting. Started off my career in public accounting. I did audit for about 3 or 4 years. Really enjoyed that. I think people usually are scared of the word auditors, but it was definitely not that where I worked. And so it was fun leading teams, getting to meet a lot of new people, working with senior management a lot, especially at a young age. But I decided I wanted to kind of pivot out of that kind of audit space and work more for like a specific company where I could really like make it my own and kind of build something there. And so I switched over to a life insurance company down in California as well. I spent about 3 or 4 years there working a lot in accounting and finance and really honed in on kind of the insurance space, where I kind of spent the last couple of years really learning a lot about how that industry works, kind of building out my skill set. But then kind of like Jill, realized that's not what I really wanted to do for the rest of my career, and kind of figured out kind of how I was going to be able to pivot, and which led me to the MBA path.
How did you settle on accounting as that thing that you wanted, where you want to start your career at least?
Yeah, I think part of it was that I have 2 or 3 other CPAs in the family. So that was one, there was like a good influence there. It was also something that I knew that I enjoyed. I'm very detailed with numbers. I like things being organized and having a clear set of rules. And so accounting kind of just fit that mold. And I just happened to be in the classes with really good teachers that made it really interesting. And so it made it pretty easy to pick that.
All right. Well, Vincent, how did you decide you wanted to pursue an MBA?
This is a story that I think is actually pretty funny, at least for me. So originally I was studying for my CFA. And my fiance, who's actually here at Darden too, decided that she wanted to do her MBA. And I said, yeah, sure. You know, go do your thing. I'll, you know, be here doing my CFA. But after a couple of months, I started to do more research on the difference between an MBA and a CFA and kind of the different career paths between the two. And so the story goes, one night I spent all night online on the internet, just kind of researching the different career paths. And the next morning when she woke up, I said, hey, I'm doing my MBA. I want to do this career path. And that's kind of how it started. But I think having the different optionality of like different career paths and different things that you can do with an MBA is kind of like what helped me kind of decide which way to go.
Bill, does that resonate with you? You spent 7 years in the classroom. How did you decide that you wanted to pursue an MBA?
Definitely resonates with me. The optionality bit is one that I think is really hitting home. As I was starting to think more long-term about my career trajectory, especially in the realm of education, I noticed two major tracks, and I didn't see myself going down either of those roads. And so that made me do more research, start to wonder, hey, what else is out there? And what skills do I have that are transferable? And while there are many that I feel will help me in my future career and have helped me in the MBA program so far, I learned that there were other skills that I would need. And that was a big push for an MBA for me, because I was simultaneously looking at other programs or applying to some jobs in the meantime. But a lot of the consensus was the same, in that I needed to build my skill set specifically with my quant skills, Excel work, et cetera, finance, accounting. So the MBA just made a lot of sense.
What put Darden on your radar specifically?
I will say it was mostly my sister. So my sister and brother-in-law, they graduated from Darden in 2022. And so when they were here, I came to visit them, although it was a bit different because it was on the tail end of COVID times. So being that I was in Baltimore at the time, I wasn't geographically too far. So I was able to visit a few times, and they spoke so highly of the program. They had an amazing time. They met people from all over the world. They really loved the Charlottesville greater area. And at that time, it was not something that I saw for myself, but as things changed, as I evolved, and as time passed, I realized, hey, this could be a path for me as well. So really, it was the pair of them who got me thinking about MBAs in general, but more specifically Darden. And then as I was applying and chatting with people, just getting to know the community for myself this time around, I realized it was still a good fit. It was the people that did it for me.
Vincent, you're a West Coaster, Charlottesville. You've got four seasons. Weather's not nearly quite the same as Los Angeles, Orange County. How did you get interested in Darden?
Yeah, I think it's a two-part decision. One was I knew I wanted somewhere that I was going to be challenged academically. And I think there's, Darden's well known for being somewhere that you're going to be challenged academically and learn a lot. And so I knew if I was going to give up 2 years of working, coming back to school, I knew I wanted to go somewhere that was going to give me that opportunity. And also just being here for Darden days, experiencing the case method, I was basically sold on it at that point. I think sitting through a class, hearing a bunch of strangers just, not being afraid to speak in like that mock case method really sold me on Darden. And then second was actually, funny enough, through this podcast, when I was looking at different schools, I listened to a lot of these podcasts, heard about a lot of students' experiences, teacher experiences, the whole nine yards. And a lot of times, if there was a student that I really, connected with or felt a connection to, I actually reached out to them and asked if we could talk. And almost everyone said yes. And so I think that really showed me like how tight the community was at Darden, which is also kind of what sold me on coming here.
I always enjoy the full circle aspect when a podcast listener becomes a podcast guest. So thanks for listening. And I always encourage people to just even a few episodes, like you get a real feel for why people have made this decision, what they're getting out of it, some aspects of the experience. Everybody who comes on here is involved with something a little bit different, choosing to spend their time, particularly in their second year, in different ways. You get a lot of information in maybe just a few episodes. You learn a ton. So, and of course, following up with the students is another good next step. So Vincent, you come to Darden, have this accounting background. You're in a new place, Charlottesville. I imagine is a bit of a change for you. So, what was it like being a first year MBA student, full time program?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people say this when they're on a podcast, and it's balancing the different kind of priorities that you have when you're coming here. And so, obviously, there's a social side, the academic side, and then there's like the personal side where you're spending time with family or taking care of your own health and things like that. And so I think finding time between all of those different things was the hardest for me to adjust to, just because there are so many things you could do here at Darden, and even out in the greater Charlottesville area. And so finding the right balance between how much time do I spend on academics versus how much time do I spend meeting new people and going out and having the social experience here during the MBA and at Darden, but also spending time at home with my fiance and my dog was also important to me. So trying to figure out what the best combination of that was, or kind of flexing between different things at different times of the year, was kind of the hardest adjustment for me, especially because I'm the kind of person that has like interests in all different types of areas, it really made it hard to like pick and choose where I wanted to be at every single like moment of the day, essentially.
Yeah, how did you figure out that balance or where to sort of put your time? I mean, I hear a lot from students on here about there's the academic, there's career, there's social. It'd be hard to do all three of these things all at the same time. So how did you figure out what approach worked well for you?
Yeah, I think for me, what worked for me was figuring out which ones specifically were where I felt the most comfortable or the most like myself, essentially. So in school, it would be places where I'm like challenged academically. I didn't want to go somewhere that maybe wasn't as appealing to me or a topic that wasn't appealing just because it was what everyone else was doing. Same thing with social, just because everyone was going through one certain thing. If there was something else that I felt more inclined to do or really wanted to do, I would go to that, even if it wasn't the most popular option. I think balancing kind of my, I guess, true north was kind of the way I did it, essentially, like figuring out what meant the most to me and how I wanted to spend my time was kind of how I balanced it.
Yeah, that resonates. So kind of quite a few guests come in and talk about the importance of sort of knowing your own priorities and not get caught up in chasing other people's priorities or feeling like you have to follow the herd, so to speak. It can be hard to do, particularly when you're new at something in an unfamiliar environment. You're learning, you know, what it means to be a Darden student. You can really get easily sort of pushed in a lot of different directions. But having that North Star, your own true north, is an important thing. And important use of your time prior to the start of school as well, kind of figuring out, discerning what that might be. Jill, how about for you? Come to Darden, you're a brand new first-year student. What was that adjustment process like?
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot about what Vincent just said. And although I find a lot of truth to that, I think there's also part of me that learned to try a lot of new things, which was a big part of the adjustment here as well. So for example, I think traditionally I have found the most success in studying alone, and where that might have worked in the past, that didn't necessarily work for me right off the bat here, just with a lot of new content, a lot of content happening all at the same time. I had to push myself to try something new and learn that actually worked better for me to not be in a silo. And that helped to open up some space to be flexible where I was having social interactions while I was studying. So yes, trying to find the balance, trying to strike it just right between all the competing priorities, but still being able to be flexible, I think, and be at peace with that, not being able to do everything, going to every social event, I think that was the biggest adjustment.
Yeah, I think that sort of acceptance of like, you can't do everything, you can't be everywhere, you may not even be able to be 100% prepared for every single class you go to, like giving yourself that grace and understanding and being empathetic with yourself. Like I think that's an important part of this journey, because at least talking with students here on the podcast, when career stuff gets going and you're really busy on the recruiting front, you're having to lean on your learning team a lot, and you'll return that favor, you know, when they're recruiting. But nevertheless, you know, being accepting of that help, but also understanding that like, there's only so much, you only have so much time, you only have so much energy, and you have to figure out how to adjust and be okay with those adjustments.
Yes, and I have found in my experiences being so willing to empathize with others, and yet many of us tend, just from conversations, et cetera, things I've had with other classmates, many of us struggle to show that same empathy to ourselves. So yes, that's something I've been reflecting on more about the first year, just with all of the many big transitions. That has been one of them.
Yeah, that is it's an important lesson. Hopefully our listeners will take that to heart, that being kind to yourself goes a long way, particularly when you're doing something as difficult as an MBA program and all the things competing for your time. So I wonder, Jill, do you have plans for the summer? Do you know where you're headed?
Yes, I do. I'm heading to Seattle to work for Bain, who's a consulting firm, one of the MBB consulting firms.
All right. Vincent, how about for you? What are you doing this summer?
I'll be heading back to Los Angeles. I'll be with EYP, also one of the consulting firms.
Okay. All right. Jill, did you know that you wanted to move into consulting when you came, or was that part of an exploration?
Part of an exploration, I would say. And I'm really excited to try it. I think the more that I learn about the consulting world, the more interested I am, just in that it, a lot of what brought me to Darden still resonates in consulting, in that you get a lot of industry exposure. You continue building on your existing skill set. It taps into old skills you have versus new skills you're building as part of the MBA program. So I'm really excited. It seems like a fast paced, all hands on deck work environment. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. And I'm very excited about Seattle. I'll finally be a West Coaster like Vincent.
All right, West Coast, Best Coast. Some people say that. I don't know.
We're gonna find out.
It's a unanimous decision already.
So Vincent, it sounded like maybe you knew that you wanted to do consulting when you came to business school, although maybe that was also a process.
Yeah, it was also a process. Definitely explored different options, kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be in food and like food and bev one day, like down the line in the future. And so figured out like which kind of opportunities could take me there. So there was like brand management and marketing that could take me there. I could also go to consulting and work in the food and bev space. I also briefly thought about doing investment banking and working in like the consumer and retail space. So kind of just like I had a target kind of industry that I wanted to get to, but not necessarily the type of role that would get me to that industry. So a little bit different than most people, where they focused on the type of job and then the industry. For me, it was kind of the industry and then the job after that.
That's interesting. What would you eventually like to do in food and beverage, or where does that interest come from?
So I grew up cooking. My family is huge on food. And so I grew up watching like Food Network and a bunch of other food shows with my family almost every weekend. Spent a lot of time in the kitchen with my mom and my grandma when I was growing up. Even here at Darden, I spend time cooking for a lot of classmates or making meals for some of the new parents that we have here through the meal train, things like that. But most of the time that I have that's free, it's usually cooking or learning about food. And so kind of being able to incorporate my personal interests with like my career goals is kind of also what brought me to the MBA. It kind of gave me the opportunity to like pivot into a like a different industry.
Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about some of your extracurricular activities, clubs, organizations, that sort of thing. I'd like to start just by talking about the Darden Student Association. So, Vincent, you are the newly elected president of the DSA. Jill, you're the executive vice president of the DSA. Vincent, what attracted you to this role? Did you know that this is something you wanted to do? How did you get interested?
Yeah. So for me, I think the biggest reason why I was interested to begin with was because I've had such a good time here at Darden. And a lot of that is through the organization and through the planning of the DSA and through the second year, essentially. And I wanted a way to give back and make sure that everyone else that comes after our class has the same kind of experience that, you know, Jill and I have had. And so when I thought about kind of what kind of roles I could take on that would have the most impacts, DSA was one of the biggest ones that could have an impact on a majority of the class or of the school, honestly. And so that was kind of where I was looking for, kind of as a guiding star, essentially, like how can I make the most impact on the most amount of people? And it doesn't have to be in any particular kind of role, as long as it had like a big impact on my classmates and the people that came after us.
How about for you, Jill? What attracted you to DSA?
The short answer is Vincent. He approached me. He asked if I'd be interested in running with him. And after we talked about it, we realized we had a lot of the same goals and a vision to maintain the legacy and tradition that is Darden, which is so powerful. And as a side note, one of our advisors reached out to me and she sent me a list of the last 10 years executive vice presidents and suggested that I reach out to this alumni base. And I was just floored at how quickly they all responded. They gave strong congratulatory messages and they insisted that I reach out to them with anything that I need. And this was all, of course, after the fact, but I think that is the community of Darden. And it was just this small moment that made me realize that this was a good decision for us. I'm excited to work as Vincent's teammate. But yeah, I'm constantly so amazed at the Darden community. So that really helped bring it all full circle. And besides that, I will say, I think this is a really exceptional opportunity as someone with a non-traditional business background and as a member of the consortium, and quite frankly, as a woman, I think it's just amazing visibility and a chance to, yeah, to lead a really big team.
So Vincent, Jill mentioned y'all share visions, platform, idea that y'all had together. What are some of your goals for DSA in the coming year?
Yeah, I think it's funny enough that you asked us. We met for 3 or 4 hours this morning, kind of talked through more concrete goals for the year. And I think the two things that we kind of settled on for kind of overarching big goals was, one, just really continuing to build a great community here at Darden, and making sure that everyone here has a outlet or way to kind of voice their opinion or share more about themselves so that they feel like they can bring their best selves here to Darden. And so that means all the students, as well as any of the partners or any of the children, even for any of the parents here at Darden. So making sure that it's a very inclusive space for everyone here at Darden. And then two would be making sure that everyone knows and is able to access all of the amazing resources here we have at Darden. So that could be either in the career side, the academic side, the social side, anything that, you know, Darden offers, making sure that they know where that is, they know how to get it, they know kind of what resources are available to them to make sure that they're successful in whatever goal that they have here at Darden.
Jill, anything about, you know, y'all's vision that you would want to highlight here?
Vincent, you said that so eloquently. Yes, under the main pillars or main umbrellas of community and access, I think those will be our North Star, to reiterate a term I heard earlier today, and just guide our decision making as we navigate what it's like to work with our peers and work with the staff members at the university level. But yeah, I would say those are our main goals.
Well, let's talk about some other things that you're also involved with. Second year students are busy. They've got electives, but they also have lots of clubs and organizations. They are engaged with lots going on outside the classroom. Jill, are there clubs or organizations that you're involved with that you'd want to highlight here?
Yes, there are a few. I would say I have my largest role is as the Darden Cup rep for our section. Do you want me to share more about what that means?
Yes, please.
Okay. So Darden, Darden has different classes, and each class is called a section, which is approximately 70 people who you'll spend a lot of time with, academically, socially, et cetera. But Darden Cup brings together all five of the sections competition style in a variety of different games, ranging anywhere from trivia to basketball to soccer. And we play throughout the course of the school year, and points are tallied along the way. And in typical Darden fashion, there has to be a winner, and the winner will be crowned at the end of this year. But I play a role in leading our teams to hopefully a Darden Cup victory, although we're currently in third, so we'll see how that ends up for us. But I really enjoyed my time as the Darden Cup rep. Got to know a lot of different people, learned about all their hidden talents. For example, when we did cricket, I was so impressed at people's cricket knowledge and wherewithal and skill level. It's been a really fun experience.
All right. Anything else in addition to Darden Cup that you would want to highlight here?
Yeah. The consortium, which is something that Vincent and I are both a part of. That was my first experience at Darden. Some of the kindest, most wonderful people I've met on campus, extremely inclusive, extremely thoughtful. That's been a real home base for me. And finally, the Darden Outdoor Club, which is just a different flavor than the other organizations that I'm part of, it's true to form. It does get me outside a lot. So I've enjoyed so much learning about the greater Charlottesville area. We took a ski trip to West Virginia a couple weeks ago. They do all kinds of hikes and runs, et cetera. So that's a really great organization for anyone who's interested in getting outside.
How about you, Vincent? Clubs and organizations that you're involved with?
Yeah. So like Jill mentioned, I'm also part of the consortium. She touched on pretty much everything that I would want to touch on the consortium. But outside of that, I'm also pretty involved in the basketball club, which I found to be a great way to meet like a lot of other first years and a lot of other second years, especially when you're new to Darden and you're just here getting on campus. A great way to meet people is just go out to the basketball court, play a little bit of basketball with them, and just really connect with them outside of the school. And so that's a great way to, at least for me, to connect with people. I've also really enjoyed Darden Stories and the WAC Club. And so Darden Stories is, I guess you could call it a platform where once a month, either a second year or a first year will come up to one of the classrooms that we have and basically tell a story, whatever story that they want to tell. It could be a very personal story, a very, a funny story, whatever it might be. But it's a great way to learn more about your classmates and about second years that you otherwise would not have known anything about. And I find it very helpful too, especially because it's usually on Thursday. It's at the end of all your classes, at the end of the week. And it's a great way to just kind of wind down and kind of disconnect from the academic and like the networking side of things and just focus on getting to know people more on a personal level. And so that's been one of my favorite parts here so far this year. And then obviously WAC, that's the Wine and Cuisine Club. I mentioned I love food and cooking and all that stuff. And WAC does basically all of that. I actually just attended like an Indian cooking class 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And it was a great experience just learning how to cook Indian food because I've never done it before. But in a way that you can learn from your classmates or learning with your classmates even, where it was a super fun environment and something that I would totally want to do again.
Well, y'all are certainly busy, a lot going on, but that's par for the course for your typical Darden student. And there's over 50 student organizations, which just boggles my mind, just given that there's like 680 or so full-time MBA students here. So that's a lot of organizational representation across the student body. So Vincent, what are you looking forward to in the coming months? Obviously, you've got an internship upcoming, but anything else that you're excited about?
Yeah, I mean, there's always something to look forward to here at Darden, honestly. I think top of mind would be Darden Cup basketball next week. That will be a fun experience. I love playing basketball, like I mentioned, and I think it's a pretty close race in Darden Cup for the most part. So it should be a very intense and very fun atmosphere to be at. But other than that, kind of looking forward to branching out of the core classes. I've loved getting to know my section, really enjoyed the time that we've had for the first three quarters, but also looking forward to taking electives and getting to know people outside of the section and being able to like host dinners and spend more time with people outside of the section.
Yeah, what section are you, by the way?
I am section E, go Eels. It's not the most fun, animal, but it is who we are, and we are the best section by far.
I have to think Section E has very strong podcast representation. I feel like almost everybody I talk to is in Section E. How large is the section? Can't be larger than the typical section size, but maybe overrepresented here on the podcast. Very involved in things.
We just do a lot of things. We're really out there, as we've been told. So it's a fun section to be in. A lot of personalities. It's a fun class to be in.
All right. Well, you mentioned the basketball club. I had Yona Greenstein here on the podcast not so long ago talking about basketball club. I think he said there was a tournament coming up as well for that. Maybe it happened already.
Yeah, I think it happened, I want to say 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think they went up north to play a tournament or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but I've heard good things about that tournament, like a great way to meet people. And I think other clubs do it too. I think the soccer club went out, I want to say 2 weeks ago, to Houston, and they played against some of the other schools and had a great time over there as well.
That's nice. Yeah, I thought that was so interesting. NBA's competing against each other these like sport tournaments. I didn't know about this, honestly. I did not know this was something that happened. So it was cool to learn about.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because sometimes you have students who used to be former D1 athletes, former professional athletes, and you go out there and you're like, I'm pretty good at X, Y, and Z sport. And then you get humbled pretty quickly. But it's amazing because you have this diverse, you know, community of people coming from all different backgrounds, but everyone has, like what Jill said, you know, their own talents that you had no idea about.
Yeah, I think he was relaying a story about a former NBA player that was on one of the NBA teams, which is, you know, it's a strong competition, as I say. Jill, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
I just wanted to say I'm here to represent Section B, which is actually the best section. As you can see, there's quite a bit of competition between sections here at Darden. But like Vincent, I'm really looking forward to our last three Darden Cup events. We have basketball, racket sports, and kickball on deck for Q4. And just generally getting outside a bit more, spending some time in the lovely Charlottesville area. Now that our schedule is changing away from the core classes and into more chosen elective classes, I'm hoping that might introduce a bit more time to do things like longer hikes or, you know, just biking around, seeing more of the area here in the springtime in Charlottesville. And I'm really interested in trying to get to men's or women's lacrosse games.
Hey, that's just right there. Stone's throw away from the Darden Grants.
Yes, it's so close. And in fact, I can hear it from where I live when there's a home game going on. And both teams are doing exceptionally well. I just looked at their records, 7-1 and 5-1 respectively. So yeah, I have to make it to a game.
Yeah, if you think about the sports that you can go to from traveling less than a mile, like maybe even a half a mile from the Darden grounds, you could see soccer, men's and women's soccer. You'd see lacrosse, men's and women's. Track and field is right there. Softball is right there. Baseball is there. You could watch the football team practice, at least, if you wanted to. And you have the basketball arena, which also hosts concerts, all within, I would say, half a mile or less.
Yeah. And for the most part, I think everything is free, right? Free to students. Yeah. So except the concerts at times, but the sporting events.
Yeah, sporting events for sure. The hardest ticket is the basketball. Everything else, pretty easy to get in there. All right. Well, thank you both for coming on here. Last question for you. So Jill, what's a piece of advice that you would share with our prospective student listeners, something you would encourage them to think about?
This is something I heard along the way throughout my Darden journey, just trusting that people want you to be successful and that people are awfully willing to help out. I think with that, what I would add is a willingness to ask for help and knowing when to ask for help and maybe what resources exist already to aid in any challenges you're finding along the way. But I think to the same tune of the strong Darden community, people have your back here and they really want to see you succeed. It's knowing how to best tap into that. That is a bit of a journey.
That's a really good point. I honestly think accepting help can be really hard for very talented, high-performing people who haven't had to ask for help a lot in their life. Talk about sort of the psychology of all of this. I think that's a real challenge. I think that's harder than people think.
It definitely can be flexing a new muscle. And I have found that once you try it, it does become a bit easier. And I think I'm continuously humbled here in just how many resources there are and how kind people really are and their willingness to do whatever is within their control to help you reach your goals. But of course, to your point, Brett, if that's not something someone knows about, it might be hard for them to help you. So yes, it is a fine balance.
Yeah, being open, being willing to share in this, make those connections, be vulnerable a little bit too, and goes a long way. Vincent, how about you? What's a piece of advice you would share with our prospective student listeners?
Yeah, I think it goes back to some of the points that we've made through this podcast already. I think first would be have some clarity of what you want out of the program, whether it's a social goal that you have, an academic goal, career goal, whatever it may be, kind of having some kind of North Star to kind of guide you before you come into school. But at the same time, kind of what Jill mentioned before, have an open mind about trying new things, doing things that are out of your comfort zone. I think for me, that was particularly the case. I typically would not be the kind of person that runs for DSA president, but I figured why not do it now? Like come out of the shell, do more, challenge yourself. And I think that's something that I've tried to really live by while I'm here at Darden and would hope to continue to do outside of Darden. And then two, kind of just don't be afraid to let your personality shine. I think a lot of times you come here, there's 350 new people, 70 people in your section, and you're afraid to speak up and let your personality shine. I think, like Jill said, everyone here is really here to help you succeed as much as they can. And everyone here is very kind and generous. And so if you want to let your personality shine and bring your whole self, I think that everyone here will support it. And so just not being afraid to do that, I think is what I would say.
Yeah, to our earlier conversation, it can be hard to be vulnerable when you're new somewhere, to sort of to open up in that way. I think particularly graduate business school, professional school, like people feel like they have to be a certain kind of way. I think a lot of times people are kind of battling this idea of who a business school student should be. You're good enough. You got yourself here. You know, be you here. I think that's such an important point, something for people to keep in mind as they go forth from here. So thank you both for your time and for all your insights. It was so much fun talking with you, and congratulations on your recent electoral victory. Look forward to hearing more about what the DSA gets up to this coming year.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
And that was my interview with Vincent Trum and Jill Howland, two first-year students in our full-time MBA class of 2025. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Till next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.